call me sentimental, but to me, the most joyful moment in sports is the soccer goal. And when that goal happens at the World Cup, well, it's pretty good. I'm Brian Phillips. With the 2022 Men's World Cup approaching, I'm making a podcast called 22 Goals on the Ringer Podcast Network. It's about 22 of the most fire emoji goals in the history of the tournament. We're going to have so much fun.
This episode of the Ringer NFL Show is presented by State Farm. Create an affordable price just for you when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with the personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state. This episode is brought to you by Modelo. What does a true fan look like? It's cheering the loudest. It's never missing a game, no matter what. And for that, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Because you are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Shop delivery or pickup options near you at ordermodelo.com. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. Hello and welcome to The Island. I'm Nora Puziati, and this week we've got our first two-time guest, none other than Stephen Ruiz. Stephen, how does it feel to have that honor?
It's humbling. It's humbling. Yeah. I guess I owe it all to Trevor Lawrence. He made me look good on the first episode, and now I'm coming back because of that. If Trevor Lawrence just fell on his face, would you have had me back? I would never be on the show again.
We would have you back because we love you. But it is true that, look, you made an investment in a property in some island real estate. It paid off. Now you're assembling an empire. You're controlling the seas. Your land mass is expanding, Stephen. I don't know who your challengers will be. Maybe Danny Kelly. I can see that. I can see Danny Kelly racking up some islands.
I'll go to war with Danny Kelly. I'll take over his islands.
All right. Well, I hear you've got an idea for a team that might need a bit of a scheme change. So will you tell us about Island number two, the inaugural second island by Stephen Ruiz?
Island number two. And I've struggled with how dramatic to go with this. Like a part of me wanted to say that the Giants should run the triple option. Just go full service academy for the rest of the year. But I'm not going that far. I'm going to say the Giants should build an option run game and be the NFL's version of a triple offense, option offense. I want the Giants just to go wholesale QB run game, turn Daniel Jones into Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, one of those guys, and just base everything around the quarterback run.
Okay, so hold on. Let's name our island.
Okay.
The Giants should run the option island, full stop.
I'm going to do the whole line. I'm Stephen Ruiz. And I'm on the Giants should run Daniel Jones into the ground island.
Think of the island like a record spinning on a turntable. Only now, that record is skipping.
Oh, God. This is very exciting. Danny Kelly might be edging into the lead for a number of island appearances.
Oh, no.
Because we can't just be piling on Daniel Jones here. So no. Let's talk about the origin story, right? Like, Daniel Jones has a sprained ankle. Obviously, there's a lot of this that goes back to the running game for the Giants being sort of the main thing that's worked for them offensively thus far.
Yes.
But let's talk about right now. Daniel Jones has a sprained ankle. Tyrod Taylor's in the concussion protocol. They have Davis Webb from the practice squad. I think Jake Fromm and AJ McCarron came in for workouts. I'm assuming this island is predicated on Daniel Jones's availability. Yes,
it almost has to be. Or Tyrod Taylor. Either one works because you're not running the option with Davis Webb. Shout out Davis Webb. He follows me on Twitter. I don't know why because I've only said horrible things.
I love
things.
Davis Webb.
I've only said horrible
Davis
things.
Davis Webb is
about
like
him.
A total mensch and a really smart guy, and he could be a coach by now and is for some reason on the Giants practice squad, which I don't really understand but respect anyway.
He's probably in the locker room going, you know what? I think we should run the triple option. I think that he knows ball.
He knows coach's son. Was offered a coaching position with Buffalo. He could have stayed there, but he wanted to, you know, Lace
you know
up,
a lot about Davis here. Webb. Are you on Davis Webb Island?
So Davis Webb and I share something in common, which is significant others who are attorneys. So I've talked to him a few times because I just think it's interesting. A niche obsession for me is backup quarterbacks who definitely could have quit and started doing something else by now and haven't. Like Josh Rosen, I find fascinating. Why is that dude not a doctor?
You can't break his spirit.
Like, it's unbelievable. I just have so much respect for it. So Davis Webb, I have a lot of respect for because he was like offered a job in coaching and he was like, no, I want to be on the Giants practice squad. But another thing we share is a deep-seated belief that we could probably do law if called upon, that we've like absorbed enough by osmosis. Like, I think I am essentially like a practice squad attorney, which is not true.
You're like,
but I
you're
still,
like,
somewhere deep down, I'm like, come on. I figured
you're like
out how
Michael
it works.
From Arrested Development, how he always wants to be a lawyer. But this is not, this isn't a Daniel Jones sucks and run him into the ground because he sucks. This is a celebration of who Daniel Jones is and his strengths as a quarterback, which I think people don't realize. Daniel Jones is a superior athlete. He's fast. He can run. Like, if you look at the stats, whenever the Giants do quarterback run game stuff, it works for the most part. If he doesn't fumble, that is. Don't talk about that part. But it works because he's very fast. And then I think it sets him up for what he does best as a quarterback, which is throw the ball downfield. And the best way to do that is to get the defense to commit numbers to the box that opens up the deep parts of the field, and then let Daniel Jones cook. That's how you let Daniel Jones cook. You get the defense to load up the box, and then you have him throw deep. I think football, we kind of overcomplicate football, but every play comes down to like a numbers advantage. Either the right. offense has two guys where the defense only has one, or the defense has two guys where the offense only has one, and whoever gets that numbers advantage usually wins the play unless there's like a talent difference. And I think the best way to do that for the Giants right now, when you look at the roster, especially now with all the receiver injuries, and then Kenny Golladay obviously hasn't worked out. Kadarius Toney, it's been tough getting him on the field. I mean, you're playing David Sills a bunch. You can't run a pro-style passing game with David Sills as your top receiver now. You got to do something.
You're not on David Sills Island?
No, I'm not on David Sills. I'm on the opposite of David Sills Island, whatever that is. Whatever that is, I'm on the opposite of it. So my take is that you have to build around the strengths of your roster. That's how you win games. And looking at the roster right now, this is a roster that can only do one thing, and that's the run game. Have Saquon out there, have a run threat at quarterback, and it opens up so much more.
Okay. So let's talk about how much of a departure from what they're doing this would genuinely be. And again, we're talking about the New York Giants offense as quarterbacked by Daniel Jones, who could play this Sunday. They're in London against the Packers. He's day to day, maybe. He has a sprained ankle. Not totally sure. If this ends up being the Davis Webb New York Giants or the Jake Fromm New York Giants, like, this is obviously sort of off the table. They probably just have to run Wildcat in that situation. But if it is Daniel Jones continuing sort of what they've tried to be so far this season, they have the league's top rushing offense in yards. They're second in yards per attempt. Daniel Jones last season was getting 5.6 carries per game. That's up to 8. He's averaging 48 yards per game. That's about double what he was doing last year. So he's already running it a lot more. Then obviously we've seen the huge difference in Saquon's explosiveness. He looks like the best running back in football. He was a negative EPA per play player last year. So that's a huge difference. There's so much more motion in this offense than there was last year. So there are a lot of, like, they're not running the option, but they're sort of flirting with it, right? So, like, how much of a change would they need to make to qualify for also being on? Like, if the New York Giants are going to be on, the Giants should run the option island. What do they need to do?
So this is what you do. You watch any Eagles game. You write down all the plays they called, and you call the same exact plays in the same exact order and just do the same exact thing.
Dable
That's
can
what
put
you do.
Down the grease board from the sideline. Just like, yeah, he needs to replace the grease board with any bit of Eagles tape.
Like, I don't even care if it makes sense for the situation. They could be on the 1 yard line and it's like the fifth play and the Eagles called like a bomb. You call it. You call for like do everything that they're doing. And I know you don't have the personnel, so it's not going to be like, it's not going to lead to 4-0 and top of the league results. But it will be better than what we're seeing right now. At
so
the
just
very
put
least.
All of the Eagles plays in a hat. Pick yeah. them at random and then just run those.
It would be better than what they're doing right now. And I will say this about Brian Daboll. He's a guy that did adjust to Josh Allen early on in his career and did things that he doesn't typically do schematically. Like if you go back to his time at Alabama, that was like the spread, basically like an air raid style approach to offense to just to make things easier on Josh Allen and to not have him think as much. I thought was a very smart move, and I think it showed the adaptability and the willingness to do things that Brian Daboll isn't usually comfortable running. So I think he has it in him, and then we obviously saw him invest in the quarterback run game with Buffalo using Josh Allen, who's a different type of athlete than Daniel Jones, but I think he has a willingness to at least consider basing the offense around this. And I think he's shown in the past a willingness to adapt when things aren't working out like he did in Buffalo.
He's also got a couple guys on that offense. Like Matt Breida ran an option offense at Georgia Southern. Darius Slayton ran kind of an option offense at Auburn. Like there's guys on this roster that should actually kind of be ready to be on board
line.
With the program.
The offensive line is like young, raw talent that's good at run blocking, but not necessarily good at pass protection. Like you're playing into the strengths of all your players. Except for the receivers, but the receiver is position is like the worst part of your offense right now.
Well, so, okay. To the point about the offensive line, because I think that's really interesting. They are, like, you have these two tackles, especially, right? Like, Andrew Thomas has developed into a really, really good tackle. You are hoping that Evan Neal is at the beginning of a similar kind of journey. Neal is obviously very far behind where Thomas is, particularly as a pass blocker, but is a little bit more ready as a run blocker. There's two sides to that, right? This year, maybe it's better to just have him do what he's good at doing. On the other hand, do you lose something in coaching a player like that up in pure pass blocking situations?
Yeah, that's actually a good call that I didn't even consider. I do think that matters. You want to get him reps. You want to get him reps that matter, live reps. So I get that, but I think you're always going to have enough of those. Like it's the NFL. There's going to be third down where you have to pass.
You're going to have to throw the ball.
Yeah. So I think there's enough of that going on. And if maybe like the goal isn't to win as many games as possible in year one, it's to establish like your identity and get guys on board and get them experience running this system. So like maybe Daboll's not thinking of this pragmatic approach where he's just trying to win as many games as possible. And he's actually trying to build a foundation, but no one wants, that's boring. Who cares? We want to see wins. We want to see points. I want to see fun. I don't care about your long-term goals, Brian Daboll. That's not what the island is about. The island is about doing the most fun thing possible. And the most fun thing possible is calling counter bash 14 times a game with Daniel Jones.
All right. That's hard to deny. I think Brian Daboll wants to win. I actually think even the front office there, when that regime came in, talked a lot about the need to win some games and try to field a competitive team. Now, I don't think that's really what their priority is. I think, especially at the highest levels, if you give them truth serum, it's like this year is the equivalent of, was it 2017 or 2018 in Buffalo, Josh Allen's rookie year where they just ate $70 million in dead money. I think the Giants sort of haven't been willing to say it because it's also this make or break year for the quarterback. So you can't just be like, no, this one doesn't count. But I think they, if you gave them all truth serum, they look at this year as we're clearing $32 million in dead cap money. You know, spending $11 million for James Bradbury to play cornerback for somebody else in your division, that is like one of the toughest L's any team in football is taking right now. He would help them so much, but it's also hard to blame them because they didn't have enough money to sign the draft class. Like, this regime had to overcome a lot of mistakes by people who used to be there, and they didn't have much of a choice. So when it comes down to it, the future is a higher priority than the present, I think. But when you actually just consider the coaching staff, like, Brian Daboll's a maniac. He's like screaming on the sidelines. He wants to win as many games as possible. So I don't think that he would make schematic decisions purely based on what the future needs will be, even if I think the front office is actually sort of secretly operating like that.
It sounds like you're thinking about going to the island with me. Like, you're thinking this is a good idea. But
I did just talk myself out of my own counter argument. Right. Although, you know,
I feel like we switched spots during that.
Yeah, I was like, exchange. Evan Neal needs this many pass blocking. No, he doesn't. Come on. It's fine.
My main takeaway from this conversation is that we would both make excellent lawyers.
That is my main takeaway from every conversation, Stephen. I'm so glad. Like, that is, I actually have been on that island for a very long time. I'm going to get in trouble for this podcast. It's fine. It'll be great.
But I do think that's like the environment you need to get a little wacky schematically. Is like, this is a year where it's like year zero for the rebuild, basically, like the resetting. And this is when right. You try stuff, right? They, like, you're not worried about, like, as long as you're not doing Nathaniel Hackett things where it's like very obviously like there's incompetence going on and causing problems. No one's going to notice that if you're running like unsound run schemes and you're running a few too many option plays. Like the random Giants fan isn't going to be able to see that and go, this is coaching incompetence. Whereas when you're watching Nathaniel Hackett like call a timeout for no reason, you could see it. So I think he has like the leeway to even try this. Maybe not go full sail with it, but like try it more often.
Well, but also I don't know what the problem is from a development perspective for really like Neal is the only player that I would bring that up with, right? Because if you look at their receiver group, you're not really worried. Like, Kadarius Toney is probably the number one guy in that group where it's like, man, you would really like to see some development there and him turn into a player that he hasn't been so far. Kadarius Toney is a good player to do this with. Like, that's not going to be an issue. Daniel Jones is also, his average depth of target is 6.4 yards. That's a career low so far. It's not like they are finding ways to, you know, have a healthy middle of the field, short intermediate, like Tom Brady-esque passing game, right? And you're like, well, those receivers are getting valuable reps running those plays. Like, it's already not happening. So they might actually be able to have a better explosive passing game if they did something like this. So I don't think that if you go down the roster on offense, the guys who might be minimized as a result of doing this, like, they're not really part of your long-term plans.
No, and I think that speaks to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, where this isn't like a roster that is already built. Like, the foundation is in place. I could probably count on one hand how many players that are going to be on this team in 3 years. Like, even Saquon Barkley, who this year looks like the best player on the team. I mean, are we sure he's going to be a Giant this time next year? He doesn't have a contract. He could be traded. I don't know what the value is there, but this, I don't know. I feel like this offense, you just got to try stuff. And like you said, you're not building for the future here. Just try to win some games, try to be entertaining. And I think this is actually the best method of doing it. I know this is like kind of like a bit saying run Daniel Jones into the ground, but honestly, I think the Eagles' approach to offense would solve a lot of their issues.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Modelo. What does a true fan look like? It's cheering the loudest. It's never missing a game, no matter what. And for that, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Because you are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Shop, delivery, or pickup options near you at ordermodelo.com. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. Think about all the stuff you can do now on Sundays after the Super Bowl's over. Adventurous activities. You need a Hyundai to get you there. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped for any adventure with features like available H-Track, all-wheel drive. You can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com.
Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Spotify makes it easier than ever to discover new favorites by previewing short audio clips before committing to a full listen. You can even watch some podcasts with video or just keep playing audio in the background. It's everything you want in one app. Music, podcasts, and audiobooks across any device. Play anytime, anywhere, any way you'd like with Spotify. Try today.
Okay, so you mentioned Saquon's future with the team, which I think creates an interesting sliding door because he is in the last year of his rookie deal. So they are either going to have to re-sign him or let him go. And unless like they traded him mid-season or something, which would be interesting, I don't think would happen because he's their only productive offensive player. Is the worst case scenario here that they do something like this and it's so effective and Saquon looks great in the system and the Giants delude themselves into giving him a huge contract?
Oh, I think that's very much on the table. And if I'm a Giants fan, I'm worried about that so much. And honestly, that might be the best argument against running this. Because if you run a quarterback run game, that just makes things easier for the running back. Like his reads right. are simpler. There's one guy in the box who's not even paying attention to him. He's paying attention to the quarterback. So there is like a chance that this backfires in that way. But also at the same time, here's my take on Saquon. If in a vacuum, I would try to flip him. Now, I would try to sell high, right? But with the Giants, like you need to sell tickets. You need fans to come to the games. You need fans to want to pay attention. And if Saquon's not on this team, what else do they have? Like what? You have to give your fans something. This is a business. It's not like, I know like we like to think of roster building in analytical terms now, like view it through that lens, like you're trying to maximize efficiency. But at the end of the day, you have to sell tickets and have to have fans watching the games or it's hard to build anything. You have to win. You have to keep good players around.
I live in New York City. Neither the Jets nor the Giants are good football teams. I think most people are pretty aware of that. The fact that they have won games is still genuinely exciting. It's fun for people. They're walking around with their jerseys. It's like it is a palpable thing that has value. So I think they can't do it. I'm trying to put myself in the mindset of what if they somehow did. I mean, look, if Saquon looked awesome and somehow they convinced some other team to just like vastly overpay, it would be kind of a baller move, but I don't think that that's realistically on the table. And I would trust that given that the new regime's most recent background is in Buffalo, which outside of Josh Allen, generally chooses to pretend that the run game does not exist. I don't think that they would pull an Ezekiel Elliott contract situation. Like, I don't think that that's happening, but you can never be too careful.
No, but I will say, like, signing a running back while we always, like, laugh at it and like, oh, like, running backs age like milk, it's still not like the investment for signing, say, a wide receiver. Like, the Jaguars play Christian Kirkwood, $21 million a year. Like, yeah. If you give Saquon a new deal, he's making probably $8, $9, $10 million a year at most. Like,
right.
What are you guys doing with that salary cap anyway? You guys aren't good. You're the Giants. You're 3 years away. Just pay Saquon in the meantime.
Well, they have a lot of, I think they have second most cap room. They're projected to have the second most cap space in the league next year. Come on. You've got $56 million in cap space. Toss a few dollars Saquon's way. It'll be fine.
So I have, this is my strongest, I saved my strongest argument for this.
All right.
For last.
Let's hear it.
And it's not really even related to Daniel Jones or running or like the option, but I want to take you back 5 years. 2017. We're going back
in time.
Let's take a trip. The Giants are struggling on offense. Ben McAdoo doesn't have answers. Eli Manning's playing terribly. So McAdoo decides, I'm going to bench him for a young Geno Smith, who got a raw deal, who got a raw deal with the Crosstown Jets. I'm going to give him a shot at this. And a young sports writer, wait.
Steph, can we cut his mic?
No. Do not cut my mic. Let me keep going. There was outrage from Giants fans. How could you do this to Eli? You broke his Iron Man streak, whatever that was. Who cares? There was a young writer named Stephen Rees who said, no, this is the right move. Give Geno a chance. He deserves his chance. He's better than you think. He plays against the Raiders, I think it is. I don't remember what happened next, but I know that Geno got one start and then Eli took back over. And then one thing led to another and they draft Daniel Jones. And they're on this path where Dave Gettleman ruined the team. Daniel Jones obviously isn't the answer. They have nowhere to go. They have no real pieces to build around now. But if you would have listened to young writer Stephen Rees in 2017, you might have Geno Smith on your team right now. You might have never hired Dave Gettleman. You may have never drafted Daniel Jones. And all these problems you have would be eliminated. So that's my pitch. I've pitched a radical idea to Giants fans before, and I'm doing it again. And I'm trying to save your future. So listen to me.
They have a second opportunity.
Don't make the same mistake.
To get it right this time. By the way, producer Steph did not take me up on my request to cut Steven's mic once he brought up Geno Smith and just sent us the message, justice for Geno. So, you know.
He's a Jets fan. He knows.
Real ones know. All right. Even though that was such a compelling argument, I do have one more question for you. Say the Giants do follow your suggestion here and they totally commit to this. What is the ceiling for this offense become? This is going to be a two-part question, but that's the first part. What is the ceiling for this offense become?
I think it becomes what the offense looks like in Atlanta right now, which is,
okay.
I don't think Atlanta's going to keep this up because I think they're like a top 10 offense right now.
Yeah,
but I think it's like middle of the pack, like mediocre. Mediocre is a big improvement over what the Giants offense has been for what, like a decade now. So I'm going to say mediocre just because of the talent. Now, if you put talent around them and you have like good receivers, I think the ceiling is much higher. Like I would push it to almost top 10 if the offensive line comes together too. But yeah, I'd say mediocre.
Well, so they're currently 16th in offensive DVOA. If they climb, I know you're big on like three slot jumps in rankings. So if they climb to like 12th, say they're like cuspy top 10, that's kind of a big deal. Do you think that committing to this could lead to something on that order of magnitude?
Yeah. I don't see why not. Like, I honestly think this is the best way to play football, and you're seeing it around the league. Like, the Falcons offense is good right now. The Lions offense, I know they're not doing option stuff, but they're doing interesting things in the run game that make the defense commit another number to the box. That's like the theme of this season so far, is if you can run the ball, everything else becomes easier. And if you can't run the ball, everything else becomes harder. I think adding another element to this run game, like a permanent element where it's not just like a thing they do as a changeup, changes the offense entirely and makes things easier for everyone. And it just, I think it negates the talent disparity that they're going to have going up against better teams.
So, okay. Let's say that happens. How much of a drop in where they're drafting next year does that lead to, and do you think that matters?
No, I don't think it should matter. I don't think teams should operate trying to like save five draft slots. I don't think it makes that much of a difference because I just don't think teams are that good at drafting anyway. Like, I don't know if the difference between the 10th pick and having the 20th pick over the course of time has mattered that much over the history of the NFL draft. The NFL teams are not good at like separating the 10th best player from the 20th best player. We know that. So I don't think that should even be a consideration.
I'm even more with you than on the pass blocking snaps thing. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. It's
it's exactly what you just said. There's just not enough precision with which any team can get what it wants out of those draft slots for it to matter. They will have to probably figure out what they're doing at quarterback. I don't think winning, you know, two or three extra games this year is going to impact that in any way. But no matter what happens, they didn't pick up Daniel Jones's fifth year option. So the likelihood is that after a very exciting offensive season of running the option, the Giants are going into next year with whatever draft slot they have, with quite a bit of cap space, looking for a new quarterback. What do you think that looks like? Are we, you know,
well,
Giants quarterback Matthew Stafford?
Oh, no. First thing I'll bring up is Geno Smith is a free agent next year. So they have a chance at redemption. They could write that wrong. But I think one thing that the last five or so years has proven is that running quarterbacks, mobile quarterbacks, quarterbacks who you could build a run game around are undervalued. Jalen Hurts dropped in the draft, even though it was clear that he was going to be a factor in the run game. Lamar Jackson drops to, I think he was the 32nd pick. That should never happen based on what we saw right in college. Malik Willis falls to like the third round. I think he should have gone higher. But you can get quarterbacks like this who have this high floor and this skill set that you could build around from day one. Like Jalen Hurts could play from his rookie year, even though he wasn't a developed pocket passer, because he could run the football. I think that it won't be too hard for the Giants to find a guy like that if they do commit to a quarterback run game.
So you're talking about through the draft?
Or free agency. Like, I think you could, like, they don't need to find their quarterback next year. I mean, if they do, great. If they do, great. But, like, even a bridge quarterback like Marcus Mariota has shown that he could at least keep an offense afloat, even though I don't think Mariota's been that good this year. But the Falcons' offense has worked because he could run. So even a guy like that, I think, is enough. Or just giving Daniel Jones a one-year contract and just do you want to prove this again?
I got to be honest, I don't totally know what the difference is between doing that and someone like Mariota. I do think something to consider is that beyond those guys, the quarterbacks who look like they might be gettable, although, God, who knows? Kyler Murray on the Giants? Maybe.
I mean, that would be ideal. That would be the dream.
That's the dream, right? But yeah. A lot of the guys, like, okay, Derek Carr, like, that's not, you don't do all of that. You don't follow Stephen Ruiz's advice for the first time after 5 years just to put Derek Carr in the mix. So if one concern is that the potentially available veteran group doesn't include that many guys that would allow you to do much of a continuation, but maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe the point is to just be exciting and get the vibes going, be a little bit more competent.
I mean, if this is year zero in the rebuild, I don't think they're going to want a veteran anyway. It just wouldn't make sense with their timeline. Like bringing Derek Carr in to go 6-10 instead of 4-13 doesn't really make sense to me. Mostly because those numbers don't add up. 6-11. I have to get used to the new schedule. But yeah, it doesn't make much sense. Don't bring in Derek Carr. Let me make one thing clear. I will never be on Derek Carr Island.
Got it. All right. Well, am I coming to the Giants should run the option Island? Yeah. I'm there. I wasn't on Trevor Lawrence top 10 Island, but I'm so glad to join an island with you, Stephen. I think it's sort of already clear that the elements of what they're doing offensively already that are working are exactly what would carry over if they committed to this. Obviously, the health of the quarterback is sort of the big thing, but very callously, he doesn't seem to be a part of their long-term future. So I don't know that that's as much of a question as, say, it is for the Bills and Josh Allen, although the physical build of the player impacts that somewhat. But I think if Daniel Jones is able to play, they should start this week because they're about to play the Packers, bottom five in run defense DVOA. You are going to run up against a lot of these so-called good teams that don't have very good run defenses. And the Packers actually should be better than they are, but so far they've stunk. So go for it. This is the first London game. They've been playing there since 2007. This is the first game where both teams have winning records. So I feel a little bit bad that even though this game is theoretically a historic accomplishment in terms of the quality of teams that we're sending across the pond, they might still end up with the apparent shell of themselves Packers and the Davis Webb Giants offense. So here's hoping that instead of that, Daniel Jones is able to go and Brian Daboll decides to finally follow the advice of Stephen Ruiz
and run the option.
This has been the Island on the Ringer NFL Show feed. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Stephen. This was a delight. We will be back next week, but for now, Sheil Kapadia will be up next on this feed tomorrow, going in depth on NFL news on the scramble. Thank you to Stefan Anderson for production on this episode, even though he did not cut Stephen's mic, and to Connor Evans and Arjuna Rangopal for additional production supervision.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
This episode is brought to you by Maybelline New York. Get ready to bring the heat with Maybelline's newest lip plumping gloss, Lifter Plump. Fair warning though, it's hot. Like, literally. It's formulated with chili peppers to bring a heated sensation and an instant plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Hot Honey, and more. Buy Lifter Plump now on Amazon and use the code 10PLUMP to get 10% off for a limited time. Tap the banner to learn more.